This morning we will be following the Office of Matins, which begins on page 109 with the versicles, and you may rise. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
The lesson for this morning is the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 5. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, usually when a pastor is given a text for preaching here in chapel, it's a specific Bible text. It's always a short text. We're not reading whole chapters or even whole books of the Bible, just a short section. But these short sections are always part, of course, of a larger context. One pastor gave preachers the advice that prior to writing their sermon, they should read the whole chapter in which their sermon text is found and also the whole book. For the part of St. Luke before us today, we start with these words where Luke wrote, "After these things." Now, what do you do with that? Well, you look at the earlier part of Luke 5, and what do you find there? What are these things? Well, Jesus calling the first disciples, Jesus healing a leper, Jesus healing other people, Jesus healing a paralyzed man. And then comes, after these things. Jesus has already faced criticism for daring to forgive and to heal. The scribes and the Pharisees had accused Jesus of blasphemy, crass misuse of God's name. Now, after Jesus adds to his disciples with the tax collector Levi and even goes to eat with him and other tax collectors, he's once more confronted by scribes and Pharisees who ask him, "Why, Jesus, are you sitting down at a table to eat a meal with these sorts of people? Why, Jesus, are you eating with sinners? Why, Jesus, are you eating with those who are not worthy? Those whom the true holy people deliberately shun because of their uncleanness, their sin." Implied is the accusation, how can you who claim to be holy be in contact with the profane, the unclean, the unholy? Jesus, our Savior, sees things differently. He is not ashamed or troubled by proximity to sinners. He is not concerned about such contact because his holiness is not lessened by the sin of others. To be in his presence, actually, is to receive his holiness, his mercy and healing, to have the sin removed. This doesn't make sense for the Pharisees and scribes. They're trying to follow the purity and holiness laws of Old Testament ceremonies. They want to be clean. They don't want to do something that might make them unclean. And so they don't want their holiness compromised. But they're blind to the truth that is right before them. The truth that all those ceremonies, all those sacrifices of the Old Testament designed to give holiness are fulfilled right there in front of them in that person, the individual Jesus. His holiness is not compromised by any unclean illness, nor by any sin. Rather, he came to provide the healing and forgiveness to all. To some, the fact that Jesus eats with sinners is understood as somehow affirming their sin. Not merely being in the presence of it, but saying it's okay with him, the Holy Son of God. But that misunderstanding is cleared up quite easily by just reading what Jesus is doing here. This is not about affirming. It is about repentance. Jesus does not say the unholy is okay, but rather he says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Jesus does not say sin doesn't matter to him. He is there to forgive, to bless with mercy, to cover sin with his own righteousness. But it is never to teach that sin, rejecting God's law, is acceptable. Why do you think he's going to die? It's for sin, all sin, our sin. But repentance is hard when you don't think you need to acknowledge your sin and to turn away from it. Just like if you presume you are the picture of health, and yet you are bleeding and limping, and yet don't go to the doctor. Can the doctor heal you? Oh, no, because you don't go to where the healing can be found. So Jesus tries to break through the Pharisaical pride which cannot admit to the need for repentance. Jesus desires such repentance. And that is why the law, that diagnostic tool given to the church to reveal sin, is still needed. We, like the scribes and Pharisees, too easily fall into the trap of thinking we're beyond the need of repentance. We're okay. And we're not. On the other hand, we have those who, like earlier in Luke chapter 5, the leper, fall down before Jesus, so aware of their need and confess, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then we're told something that is quite amazing. Again, as I said, Jesus is not made unclean by those who are unclean. And so to prove that, he actually touches the leper who is ceremonially unclean. He touches him and says, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left that man. The unclean leper is touched by the pure and holy Jesus. Jesus is not made unclean. Jesus is not made a leper, but the leper is made clean. This Jesus is the one who is with us with his word, the word of power, the word of truth, of mercy, and of forgiveness. He calls even today with the same words which began his earthly ministry, repent and believe the gospel. He will not shun you. He will not forget you. He comes to eat with you, to enjoy being with you, to give you his life so that you may have life abundantly. God bless you with faith in this Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise. We continue with the Te Deum Laudamus.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, having safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doing, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.